99.3 Nigeria, Inc. 4 is the morning crossfire. Yes, it's Thursday, and you know every Thursday we do health and health-related matters. But as it is right now, my guest is not here. So we have switched to the judgment of the Supreme Court yesterday concerning the deadline for phase-out of the old 200, 500 and 1,000 naira notes. Joining me via the telephone to have to analyze that Supreme Court judgment is a ruling. I don't know what term to use now. But Liberos is here, though. I'm not a lawyer. You have to pardon me. Liberos, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for responding in a very short time. Now, what's your thought about this pronouncement of the court, the Supreme Court?
Yeah, the Supreme Court has simply done what it is supposed to do in such scenario. When they do anything that is not in tandem with public policy or expectations, we give them knock. But when they also do something to douse tension, we also should give them kudos. What they have done is to say two people are disputing a claim. And this, one of them ran to court and said, look, court, this man is saying this thing will end in a few days from now. Before you even call him to hear his own side of the story, please, grant an order requesting him to stop pending when you hear the two of us. So the Supreme Court said, okay, in that circumstance, hold your fire. Everybody should hold their fire. You that is threatening that the matter will end by the 10th, hold your fire. You that is saying it shouldn't end, hold your fire. Come back on the 15th. And let me hear the argument from all of you, and then subsequently, before we now take a decision. This is an old age tradition and practice of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
For lawyers, they know this case of Kotori and CBN, it's our locus classicus. You Supreme Court will grant an order interim.
Okay.
We call it an interim order, saying, pending when we hear this matter, please hold your fire. So the application is filed interim. Then there is another application you call interlocutory. The Supreme Court will now hear both parties of that interlocutory application and now give an order and say, okay, hold fire pending the hearing and determination of the main case or just maintain status quo. You know, so those are the procedures employed in court. So I don't know why people are already calling, and some people are already calling Supreme Court names. Oh, no, the Supreme Court should have delved into the matter. It is not done that way. The Supreme Court cannot say, okay, come back on the 15th. And then knowing fully well that the rest, the dispute, would have been truncated by the 15 if they don't do anything. So what they simply did is to preserve the rest, the disputes, and say don't take any decision. So that's not to fight a case of helplessness on the court, because mind you, there is an order of a federal high court procured by some other person saying court CBN don't stop, and the CBN, the Supreme Court cannot allow that order to continue by not saying anything without also asking that parties should preserve the rest.
Let me talk to you about the position of the federal government on this. They have approached the same Supreme Court challenging jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. What's the position of the law on this?
Yeah, the matters happen like that. These are procedures that would be taken in the matter. The federal government has filed what we call a preliminary objection, saying the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction to hear the matter. Maybe that being an exclusive, a matter on the exclusive legislative list, that being a matter bordering on currency, and that the state governors have no power to question it. But another question you would ask yourself is, if the state governors also swore to protect the welfare and security of the people, and a decision taken by the federal government is threatening that welfare and security
of the people, of their
and
people.
The governors have also exhausted avenue to discuss with the government, that's the executive now. Can they approach the court for intervention and interpretation? The answer is yes. So it will be arguments for and against. The federal government is saying, courts, you have no jurisdiction to hear this matter. Some people also have argued that the CBN does not report to the Attorney General, and so the court cannot issue directive to them. All these ones are arguments that will come subsequently when the Supreme Court is seized of the fact and taking arguments from every side. For now, these are premature. These are just arguments in public domain. So the court has filed a preliminary objection. The other party will respond to that preliminary objection. And I also think the court should invite on its own all the attorney generals of the Federation, all the state attorney generals of the Federation, to be parties in the matter. Because the decision taken will affect every state. And so the state entirely and the federal government will deal with it, you know, and then the Supreme Court will come to a decision one way or the other. What lawyers do when a matter of this nature is filed? The first thing would be to file a preliminary objection. Look for just loophole. File a preliminary objection. Rattle the other party. The other party will come, sit down, look at the objection filed, respond. You will file your reply on point of law. And then the court will hear the preliminary objection. Whether they have power. They will first assume jurisdiction to hear whether they have jurisdiction to hear the matter.
Just
that is done. If they now say we have jurisdiction, they now go into hearing the interlocutory application. So all of this now, the time that the governors are seeking, by the time you exhaust all of this,
That's exactly where we're going. You know, the last time we had the conversation concerning the Supreme Court, you had a lot to say about, you know, the judiciary. And I'm wondering, from your submission on whether the Supreme Court has jurisdiction or not, please correct me if I'm wrong, you are agreeing with the federal government that, yes, the Supreme Court may not have jurisdiction over the matter, but then the state government also will be putting forward whether they have, you know, the interest of their people to protect or not by approaching the Supreme Court because of the potential, the negative potential of this policy to their people. Correct.
Yeah,
Let me just throw in my question so you can answer. So, if the Supreme Court does not have or lacks jurisdiction to entertain the matter, is it compulsory for the Supreme Court to still go ahead, despite knowing that they do not have jurisdiction over such a case?
No, first and foremost. But for purpose of clarity, let me first explain, then I will not come to this because it will flow into this.
Okay.
First and foremost, it's debatable. That is what I'm saying. One party is saying you don't have jurisdiction. Yes, if you look at it from that point of view, you can stricto sensu say this is a matter within the exclusive jurisdiction legislatively. So it is the federal government that has power to make take decisions on that, and so it's not what the state government can dabble into. Also, if you look at it from another point of view, the state government will say every decision, whether exclusive, whether concurrent, the benefit, the end result is the people. And so if we are holding security and welfare in trust of the people, for the people, and any decision, whether exclusive or legislative or concurrent, will affect those same people, can't we approach the courts to ameliorate the effects of such decision? This will be some of the issues that Supreme Court will determine.
Okay.
And also, in determining whether they have jurisdiction, they must first assume jurisdiction.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The court will assume jurisdiction, whether they have it or not. Once a dispute is submitted for determination, whether the court has jurisdiction or not, the moment the other party says, you don't have jurisdiction, the court will assume jurisdiction to hear arguments whether they have jurisdiction. The court cannot just say, go away.
No, go. Liberals, again, I'm a layman. I know nothing. But I've heard situations whereby court will direct the transfer of files to DPP because the court does not have the jurisdiction to entertain such matters. In this case,
let me explain it. Take, for example, you bring a criminal matter before the courts, and the other party will argue that this court does not have jurisdiction to hear this matter. This court is a lower court or it's too higher a court to start this matter from here. And so, on that note, you say the court does not have jurisdiction. The court will take argument from both sides, for and against. If the court now says, look, I don't have jurisdiction to hear this matter, they will remit the file. They will just leave it hanging. They will say, take the file to DPP for advice, or they will say, okay, remit this file back to the admin judge, the situation where I say, the court, from your utterances, you will be biased in this matter. I don't have faith in getting justice. It's okay. In that case, I will take the file to the admin judge to reassign. But there are certain cases, for example, take, for example, small claim court in Lagos State. There are small claim courts that ordinarily you need to go to smaller courts.
Okay.
And then you take a matter that is outside the jurisdiction of that small claim court. Let's say the amount is higher than the amount that the small claim court can grant you. The court on its own will look at it and tell you, counsel, you know that I don't have power to grant you this amount that you are asking me. The other party has not even come on. So what I'm going to do, I can't grant you this amount, but I will grant you the amount that I have power to grant if you insist that it must be heard here because of time. I can't exceed this power. What that means is not that the court does not have the jurisdiction, but it does not have the power to exceed a particular amount.
Right.
In such cases, the court can say, okay, if you do not want, then you can go to court that has the power. But it's different from this case where somebody has come before the court. The court shouldn't be arguing the case of the other side. Somebody has filed a claim in court and filed an interlocutory application, filed also an ex parte application, saying, court, please, before you even hear my claim, please, there is an urgency in this matter. Time is of the essence. If you do not ask parties to stay action, by the time you hear my claim, the rest would have been destroyed. And so once it is destroyed, any decision you make at that time will amount to a nullity. Your hands would have been tied. Because it's okay, haven't looked at your affidavit of urgency. I hereby ask parties to stay action. Go and serve the other party. Put them on notice. Let them come so that I can hear the two of you. Come back on the 15th. So what that means is the court is telling all parties, please don't do anything so that you don't tie my hands. And the other party now said, no, court, you don't have jurisdiction to hear this matter. You can't even hear it. You that brought the matter to court, we join issues with the party who is saying court does not have jurisdiction. So in that case, for the court to hear that application, they must first and foremost assume jurisdiction to hear the application.
Right.
Only.
Right.
They will hear the application. If they now say, look, we don't have jurisdiction over the matter, that is the end of it. But if they now say, look, we have jurisdiction to hear this matter, so we will proceed to hear it. Now, let's hear arguments on both your interlocutory application so that we can also, you know, now we have assumed, now we now know that we have jurisdiction.
Right.
Let's go forward.
Right.
Or in some cases, in matters of urgency, the court will say, okay, you know what? We take everything together. We hear all applications. But we will deliver judgment or ruling on the first one, whether we have jurisdiction. If we assume jurisdiction, we now go further to hear, to deliver ruling on whether a interlocutory application should be granted or not, to manage time.
Okay.
So, but if we now say we do not have jurisdiction, there is no need going into the interlocutory application. That is the end of the matter.
That's the end of the matter. Now, can the appellant in this case, is there any other place they can take
applicant,
the same case?
Applicant.
The applicant, rather. Is there any other place they can take this case?
No.
That's the end.
You know what they did there? In matters between state and federal government,
yeah,
the Supreme Court has original jurisdiction to determine. So that you don't start from state and then, because it, you can be, most times it can be constitutional matters. So what the applicant did is not to join the Court of Appeal, CBN. Because the moment you join the CBN in the matter, it is no longer a matter strictly between states and federal government. There is an agency, so you have to go to federal high court. And so as not to make a mess of our federal high court system. Because, mind you, they have already granted one application. If you now go to another federal high court and they now give you your own judgment, you now ruling, you have conflicting ruling on the same matter, will start a mockery. This one will go to their own court of appeal. You now will go to their own court of appeal. Will continue. And then it gets to Supreme Court. You now, Supreme Court consolidates and now say, okay, we'll give. So they just went to Supreme Court. Forget about CBN. After all, the CBN reports to the federal government. So let's try our luck there. So all of these are issues that the Supreme Court will look at when they take arguments from all parties. Because part of it will be whether this decision can be binding on a party who is not a matter, on somebody who is not a party in the matter. Whether that person should be joined in the matter
or not.
All of this will be taken at the preliminary stage.
Liberos, thank you. Thank you for shedding light on this morning. Thank you for giving us your time as well. We really, really appreciate your explanation this morning. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Lagos, we're going to go on a break now. Yeah. When we return, we'll head back to Health Thursday and speak with our guest this morning on Health Thursday. I hope things are clearer now. I hope so. Stay here on Nigeria Info, please. I'll be right back.